My guest today, John Houghton, senior attorney in Pacific Legal Foundation's property rights practice, focusing primarily on regulatory taking cases. And we are talking about, well, we're talking about rent control. And we know Santa Barbara rent control is being discussed, and they have a rent freeze, and there's a lawsuit against it, and Pacific Legal Foundation unable to get involved in every case across the country. But if it goes to the appellate court, or maybe even farther, and it goes has to go to the Supreme Court, it's something that they could get involved. So you were mentioning, I was asking about, because you keep saying it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And so I was asking for some examples, and you started to talk about New York City.
Yes, New York City has a lot of rent control buildings, and in 2019, the city strengthened the rent control laws by a really considerable degree, and put these property owners in a really difficult situation. And what happened was, a couple of the banks that primarily lend to these multifamily owners wound up going under. Because the owners couldn't make the mortgage payments because rent control was so massively stringent. But I think what's also telling about that is that when these banks went over and the federal government took over the loans, the federal government didn't want them either, so they kind of wanted to sell the loans off. Nobody would buy them. These were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of loans that economists and professionals in the industry considered toxic simply because they related to rent control buildings. The only way that a lot of these companies, a lot of these lenders survived was, I think it was the phrase within New York was pretend and extend. We will pretend that everything's okay, and we will extend your loan anyway, because we know you can't pay, and we don't want the building because it's a rent control building. And you know, eventually, you would think at some point all of this is going to come to a fruition because you can't pretend and extend forever. But I just was going through that because the negative consequences of rent control are real, and they extend not just to the owners of the building, but to the entire financial system that's behind it as well. Because when rent is stuck at a number that is artificial below market and below a property's expenses, leaving the building essentially upside down forever, there are always going to be consequences, and they're always going to be bad. It's just a matter of when.
Very interesting. We talk about government. We talked earlier about Section 8. It's federal. So that means your federal tax dollars are going to pay for someone in another state, another county, to help them with rent. You started talking about expenses for landlords, and I just thought, well, what about property taxes? A city of Santa Barbara, it's more of a county thing where they get a share of the property taxes. The state certainly gets a share of the property taxes. They could reduce the property taxes for landlords and to offset the lower rents that they're insisting a landlord charges. They could help landlords refinance and give them better loans. But of course, that means, you know, everybody else, all our tax dollars, would be paying for rent control. It would be paying for people to pay less rent than market value by giving the landlord cheaper loans and lower property taxes. Anyone ever think of doing that?
Some have. And it has worked. In New York City, for example, I know that there are many property owners who got tax breaks that allowed them to build affordable housing and allowed them to balance their books. So it absolutely works. The main takeaway is that if the government is going to force landlords to accept below market rents as a matter of law, they have to pay for it in one fashion or another. And if it's not going to be through a lawsuit and a Fifth Amendment claim, then it can be through tax breaks or it can be through subsidies. But they can't just force owners to do it and not pay in any fashion. It's just a matter of what fashion. But the other thing I'll say too is that rather than have taxpayers pay in one form or another, whether it's subsidizing landlords or subsidizing tenants, the much, much easier solution is to just let people build. That, I think, is one of the biggest problems that we have, not just particularly in California, but nationally, is that zoning laws and building permitting is so restrictive and so difficult and so challenging and costly and time-consuming that nationally we have millions upon millions upon millions of units of housing, that are not being built that should be being built. In other words, we're short many millions of units of housing. And that's something that drives prices up and makes housing less affordable. It's just supply and demand. And if California and other states and other locales, kind of like Austin that you mentioned before, would loosen the reins and let people build, and there wouldn't be this tremendous scarcity of housing, then prices would come down for everybody.
My guest is John Houghton, the senior attorney in Pacific Legal Foundation's property rights practice. And you mentioned Austin, Texas. I wish I had the notes in front of me. I do remember 22 days, Peter Rupert, UCSB Economic Forecast Director, 22 days from start to finish to get a permit. And they started this, I think, 5 or 6 years ago, and they have a glut of housing. And rental prices went down. And he had a list of other municipalities or states or cities, probably cities and local municipalities that have done this and not quite as good as 22 days. So that is certainly the answer that I hear from a lot of people. Circling back to the cost, I'm glad to see that, with incentives that that has worked. But like you said, to avoid having government and everybody else pay for it, if you build, that will work. Areas like Santa Barbara is kind of tough, where you got very limited space. City of Santa Barbara has got Paseo Nuevo downtown, where they own the land. I suppose they could convert it all to apartments themselves and own them all, and have cheap rent there. But they haven't thought about doing that. The Santa Barbara rent control cost, I read in a local article, could cost $2 million to oversee 13,000 units, and that's $153 a unit. And they said it would cover staffing, enforcement, developing rental registries, petition fees, appeals process, outreach, and data collection, $153 per unit. And then the next paragraph said, plus, city staff needs to conduct a fee study to determine the amount per unit to cover the program's administration. So that was confusing. I thought they just said it was $2 million, and so there's going to be on top of that. So it's a nightmare. And we started the interview with the understandable that every costs have gone up, and tenants are looking for some kind of a relief. But experts, economists, people like you don't seem to think rent control is the answer. My mother married a guy who was a New York City teacher for years. He lived on West 82nd Street. He had a little small one bedroom. The kitchen was the size of a closet. He had a balcony. You could see Central Park. He paid $500 a month. He moved to Florida and he sublet it illegally for, I think, $1,000 a month. He was making $500 a month, which this is back in the 1990s, was a lot of money. And the girl who was renting it was getting a screaming deal because who knows, it might have been worth $2,500 a month. So he was cheating. He was winning. She was winning. She had her own subsidiary rent control. till he finally got busted and he couldn't do it anymore. So I don't know what happened, but hey, great talking to you again. Next time you come on, we could revisit what we talked about last time on eviction bans regarding COVID. That's always happening. John Houghton, Senior Attorney, Pacific Legal Foundation's Property Rights Practice. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Mark. It was great, and I'd love to come back again.
Thank you. I appreciate you carving out the time, and we'll see you next time. You are listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned for the weekly multiple listing sales update.